had put clean sheets on his bunk that morning. Albuquerque, University of New Mexico. The day after Jamie returned from Washington, the terrorist attack struck the campus. He was in his office, on the phone with Dex Trumbull, trying to make arrangements for his flight to Mars. "You want to go back?" Dex asked, his image on the wall screen showing the disapproval that he tried to keep out of his voice. "I have to," said Jamie. "Why?" "To preside over the funeral. To try to keep the program alive. There isn't going to be any funeral, not if I can help it." Dex shook his head. "It doesn't make sense, Jamie. There's nothing you can do there that you can't do here." "I've got to go." "Don't get mystical on me. And don't..." Three explosions rocked the building. So close together they sounded like the beats of an enormous ceremonial drum. The windows of Jamie's office cracked. The room shook as if struck by a sudden earthquake. Books slid off the shelves. "What the hell was that?" Dex hollered. Jamie saw black smoke billowing above the campus buildings outside his window, then heard the wail of sirens. Footsteps pounded by in the corridor outside his door. "Jamie, are you okay?" "Yeah," Jamie answered shakily, staring at the rising smoke. "I'll call you back, Dex." He rushed to his door and yanked it open. The corridor was empty now. Hurrying downstairs, Jamie saw that the lobby of his building was a blackened, smoking ruin, windows shattered, doors punched in, ceiling tiles dangling precariously. Firefighters and campus police officers were hauling bodies outside where ambulances were pulling up. Jamie helped lift the bloodied, mangled bodies of students and staff people out into the sunshine. A crowd was growing outside the yellow tapes the campus police were stringing across the parking lot. City police were arriving. A SWAT team van squealed to a stop. "Goddamn towel heads," one of the campus cops muttered as they tenderly laid the dead body of a young female student on the concrete. Her legs had been blown off. Jamie fought down the urge to throw up. It seemed like hours, but Jamie's wristwatch told him that hardly 30 minutes had passed since the explosions. Television vans were pulling up. Helicopters thuttered overhead. The lobby of the Planetary Sciences building was a twisted, shattered mess. His pocket phone jangled. Straightening up, he fumbled in his jeans pocket for it, flipped it open. "Are you all right?" Even in the phone's minuscule screen, he could see the wide-eyed fright on BJ's dark face. "I'm fine, honey," he said, wiping at his sweaty brow.
"You're not hurt?"
"No. They bombed the lobby. I was in my office."
"They said on TV that 4 people were killed."
Jamie glanced at the bodies laid out in a row. "It's more than that."
"But you're okay?"
Nodding, he replied, "Yes, I'm fine."
"Your face looks bruised."
He almost smiled at her. "Dirt, more likely. I've been helping get the bodies out of the lobby area."
"Come home, Jamie. That's where I'm heading right now."
"The police will probably want to ask me some questions. I'll get home soon as I can."
"I love you, dear," said VJ.
"Same here, love." He clicked the phone shut, returned it to his pocket, and felt the bear fetish that Grandfather Al had given him all those years ago. It didn't make him feel any better, any safer. One of the paramedics came up to him, pulling off his latex gloves. "That's the last of the bodies. Thanks for your help." He took the man's proffered hand, then walked off a ways, feeling stunned, numb. Who would do this? He asked himself. Why? A city policeman stopped him to take his name and phone number. "The investigators will want to talk to you. You're not planning on leaving town, are you?" Jamie couldn't help a wry grin. "Only to Mars," he murmured. "Huh?" "No," he said more distinctly. "I won't be leaving town in the next couple of weeks." "Okay, good," said the police officer. "Any idea of who did this?" The policeman shook his head. "Hasn't been anything like this since the troubles in the Middle East back when I was in the army." "Was this the only building hit?" "They got the astronomy building, too, over on the other side of the campus, and one other, 3 altogether." And then Jamie realized who had set off the bombs. Oh, my God, he repeated silently, as he walked, stiff-legged, alone around the Planetary Sciences building to a side entrance. Oh, my God. It wasn't Islamic fundamentalists. We have our own fanatics right here at home. He picked his way through the litter in the hallways and entered his own office. It was messier than usual, but otherwise undamaged, except for the obvious crack that ran the length of his window. I'm on the far side of the building, Jamie told himself as he sank slowly into a swivel chair. The blast didn't carry this far. A knock on his door made him look up. The president of the university stepped in, looking grim. Minor T. Halverson had been a star football player for the University of New Mexico's Lobos. Now he was a bishop of the New Morality Movement and president of the university. He was a big man, still trim and tanned despite the distinguished gray flecking his temples. He was handsome in a rugged, athletic way. He knew how to raise money, which was the primary qualification for a university president. "You're not hurt?" Halverson asked without any preliminaries. "No, I'm okay," said Jamie. "You look kind of grimy, if you'll pardon my saying so." Jamie said, "I'll wash up when I get home." "May I?" Halverson gestured toward the chair in front of Jamie's desk. "Sure." "This is terrible," said Halverson as he eased his bulk onto the squeaking plastic chair. "I never thought I'd see the day when terrorists would strike here."
"Neither did I."
"Car bombs." Halverson's normally smiling face was grave, ashen.
"The police told me they hit the astronomy building, too."
"And bio?"
"All science buildings."
22 killed altogether."
"In the name of God."
Halverson looked sharply at Jamie. "You know I'm a believer, Jamie, but this has nothing to do with God."
"The people who set off the bombs think it does.
They think they're doing God's work. That's a perversion of everything that Christianity stands for."
"Tell them."
Halverson drew in a deep breath. "I don't blame you for being angry, Jamie. This has been soul-shattering."
Jamie nodded, tight-lipped. "Don't blame him for this," he warned himself. "He's just as shook up about it as you are."
"It seems clear," Halverson said slowly, "that these attacks were aimed at the scientific work being done here on campus."
"But why?" Jamie wondered. "Why are they so set against exploring Mars?"
"Because you threatened their faith," Halverson answered.
"We found the remains of another intelligent race, and that threatens their faith?"
"Their narrow definition of it, yes. I think this news about finding a fossil tipped them into violence."
Jamie shook his head wearily. "I don't get it.
We're uncovering facts on Mars. You can't make facts go away. You can't blast facts out of existence." "They think they can," Halverson said. "Believe me, Jamie, I've had to deal with these fundamentalists in the church. They want everyone to forget that you found intelligent life. They want to erase all traces of your discovery and return to where we were before you ever went to Mars."
"That's stupid. It's impossible."
"They don't believe so. And they're willing to die in order to destroy you and everything you've learned."
Jamie fell speechless.
"It's obvious that they want to pressure the university into dropping our Mars program."
"Obvious," Jamie agreed.
"You yourself might be a target, Jamie."
Jamie felt a jolt of surprise. "Me?"
"You're the scientific leader of the program. If these terrorists want to stop the Mars program, what better way than to assassinate its chief? Or murder his wife," Jamie immediately thought. "I'm ordering a security detail for you," Bishop Halverson said.
"And for my wife, too?"
"Yes, if you want it."
"I do."
"Is there anything else I can do?"
"Just name it, Jamie."
"I know we don't agree on religious faith, but I'm just as infuriated by this barbarism as you are."
He's sincere, Jamie realized. Looking into Halverson's sorrowful eyes, Jamie believed that he could trust this man. "It's all right," he said gently. "You won't need to protect me for very long. I'm going back to Mars as soon as I can make the arrangements."
"And your wife?"
"She's going with me."
"It's safer on Mars than it is here."